How about that? The whole card
Right.
thing. Oh my
We're going
God.
live. Going live. Still loading. Okay. Going live. All right, here we go. Hey everybody, welcome to Growing with Fishes podcast, episode 173. Sorry about the bit of a break there. Marty and I were teaching up a storm. So we also got Marty with us.
What's going on, guys?
You got Mr. Green Jeans.
Hey, everybody.
I better open
back
up chat.
With guests in regular format next week. I've just been busy, sick, or traveling, one of the three. I was hospitalized there for a minute and a bunch of other bullshit, so it's been kind of crazy. But we're kind of getting back to normal, at least for a little while. How's everything going with you there, Marty?
Oh, good, man. Just kind of recovering from the long weekend. I got, or yeah, it's not recovering from the long weekend. We did the 4-day class and then went right back to work on Monday. So I'm dragging a little bit. So nice. It's tomorrow's Friday. So that'll be good. Let's see. I have, I think, just two media beds left to build in the flower room. I got the bulkhead, had a little leak on that. It's all fixed up, so the water's cycling through right now. And I'll have 4 13-foot grow beds. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. Other than that, not too much. I'm going to go put the supports in for the first couple media beds and staple down the liner here in just a little bit, and then I'll go to bed, go to work, and then come back and do what I can again. But hopefully we should have all the rest of the media beds in and all of the siphons in by the end of the weekend. So super excited for that. I went and got a bunch of beneficial insects. So I got some lacewing and some H miles and some beneficial nematodes and a bunch of stuff for those plants that we were looking at. And so yeah, those are just some plants we're trying to save the genetics of. Got some pretty cool stuff down there. We got snowman, we got forbidden fruit, we got Wi-Fi OG. What else is down there? Sunset sherbet, which I'm super excited about. I've smoked but haven't grown yet. The gelato cut of cookies. That's the one that one of those plants. I have probably three or four of each strain, but one of those gelatos might have that viral infection that we were talking about. So that'll be interesting. Right now, they're just kind of all getting treated and grown out, and try to take clones of each one of them and get them reboot because they were just covered in spider mites and had some root aphids and all kinds of stuff that we don't want. So they will get treated, get cloned, and hang on to some of those good genetics. So that's what I've been up to. Bunch of thinning yesterday, sprayed them, got them all knocked back, released the beneficials. Fun stuff like that.
Is there a way to get rid of the viral infection? Is that something that you can get rid of by doing, what do you call it?
The epigenetics?
Yeah.
So it's not, if I understand it correctly, which I probably don't, is that you can go through the epigenetics with, but it's not ever going to completely get rid of it. It's more like it just reduces its effect on the plant is kind of what I understand, but it's a little over my, scientist, what'd you call it? Repertoire in terms of knowing whether, you know, like how it does that or whatever. But I know Kevin Jodry had a pretty cool talk on it with Alan Atkinson. And it's on YouTube, and they were talking about using sub-irrigated planters for epigenetics, specifically with, Grow Kashi, their Allen specific brand of Bokashi, mm-hmm. and using microbial dominant reservoirs in their sips to essentially continue growing them and cloning them and growing them again and doing multiple generations inside the same environment with a high microbial density in order to try and suppress, I guess is the technical term for the virus or viral infections, but maybe Steve has more info.
Yeah, so sorry, I'm trying to shut this thing off. It keeps making noise. It actually, yes, it will suppress the expression of the aquaponic plate. It will suppress the expression of the virus, but what happens is that the lactobacillic acid bacteria really reduces the production of it, and the mechanism is not at all understood. But if you can grow that and then take a cutting off the newest growth and then restart that when it's at a reduced viroid level and basically continuously reduce that load by a percentage every time you restart the plant, you can get it down to a level where it's not expressing enough to negatively impact plant growth. And that's really the goal of what they're trying to do. And you can do this with other labs, or you can do it with like GrowKashi, or you can do the straight grow boxes like they were doing. All those methods will work just fine.
Because I have a plant clone that someone gave me years ago that they said this plant, you know, this clone has a virus, and I forget the name of it, and probably I forget it because it's never given me any trouble. I haven't seen, and I don't know whether, you know, I'm kind of an organic grower and this and that, and I don't know whether it's just, you know, just delights my environment or whatever, and maybe the virus is there and it's just suppressed or whatever. Sorry, I can't even remember the name of it, which I should be able to, but it'll probably come to me in a minute. But yeah, and I've heard that before, you know, people are saying, declaring this clone as, you know, this cut's, you know, famous for, it's got a virus or something like that. So yeah, just wondering. I mean, I, you know, because like I said, I've got this one, which I swear, I mean, I can't tell. I've never seen it. It's a perfectly healthy plant, you know, as far as I can tell. So I never don't keep mothers, you know what I mean? I always clone right from the last plant, and, you know, while it's kind of vegging pretty good and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So I don't know, maybe there's something to that. You know, I don't keep a mother plant around to take, which I probably would if I was going to make an army of clones, obviously. But since I'm just keeping, you know, individual plants alive, I don't have room even for two clones. So I'm always just taking the one. But yeah, I've done some serious clone generations, you know, over if they call it, you know, generations. Some, I'm sure my Jack Herrera plant that I have that's over 20 years old, that must be hundreds of generations by now. Or you know, if you call it a generation, but whatever. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I have a plant that supposedly has. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
There, as far as I'm aware, unless someone can correct me, there is no commercially available like viroid suppressant other than lactobacillic acid that's been documented. Now, if someone knows of one, I know I've researched this and have not found any. In fact, this is a really, really good transition into an article I wanted to bring up. Hold on, give me 2 seconds to pull this up. There was a really, really awesome article. I was on the plane going to see Marty to teach the class, and I came across one of the craziest articles I think I've ever read that actually pertains to the cannabis industry, not directly, but the science of it does. Let me just pull up the article real quick just so I can make sure I get my facts straight. I think Marty knows exactly what the article I'm about to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. It definitely applies. But I don't, I don't know. Like it goes way beyond that too, I guess. That's the only like
so basically they tried there's a big problem with cassava mosaic virus, and it's not really it's fairly similarly related to other mosaic viruses that attack other both tobacco and cannabis. Okay, so they're very closely related. And what they did was they tried to use CRISPR-Cas9 to genetically modify it so that the virus would cleave its genetics and destroy itself. Okay, thus giving the plant immunity to the virus. What happened in between 33% and 48%, just to make sure I got the numbers right, I pulled the article up, of the plants tested is the virus adapted to it and was then able to use that genetic cleaving mechanism to then attack the plant much more efficiently and actually just start destroying the plant's DNA. And they basically created a much, much, much more dangerous virus inadvertently. This is why we cannot go and start playing God and start GMOing plants. You can GMO other animals other creatures that do not exchange DNA and do not have these types of diseases that can do this. You cannot do this with plants. This is psychotic. You could have something like this that could absolutely infect humans. This is stupid.
The virus is really...
You could have something that could jump to corn, wheat, soybeans. This was with cassava, but imagine if they had tried this with hemp mosaic virus or tobacco mosaic virus, and it wiped out the ability to produce nightshades in North America. Like, this is the kind of shit that could do it. And putting CRISPR into it, like, are you crazy? Like, so this is the kind of stuff that has to be done in lab-type scenarios, not in an outdoor environment, not in a dangerous place where this kind of stuff can get out. And it just goes to show that we can't just genetically engineer a solution to every problem. Some of this stuff has to be done the old-fashioned way. And when you do start to GMO some of this stuff, you can actually create something that is 100 times more dangerous. And I'll put a link to the article, the exact paper, in the link to this episode, because it was literally like mind-shattering to me when I read this, because it was just how dangerous some of these people are without realizing the danger they're putting like our entire food supply in. And this is psychotic. Like this is, we should not be taking these kinds of risks right now when we don't, you know, it really was eye-opening to me and something that really I think everyone needs to understand and see.
Yeah, wow. It was really, really fucking dumb. It's basically what it comes down to. Like, I'm convinced that's how we all die.
Jesus.
That's basically what, like, I've come to the conclusion of, like, I think we're going to kill ourselves before we kill the earth.
Oh, yeah.
And we're on a pretty fast track in killing the earth, so I just don't think it's that far away. Like, I'm at this point just hoping I die of old age, because if I don't, I'm just going to die suddenly with everyone else, because some dumb motherfucker is going to break apart a virus and make it immune to everything that we can fucking throw at it. And what's
crazy is that, like, you can buy the access to that technology for like $4,000 on Amazon. Like, that's what's crazy about it.
CRISPR is like $150, isn't it? Or
yeah, they have some real cheap kits now. We're getting cheaper by the day.
Basic CRISPR is, yeah. Oops, maybe I shouldn't have told everybody that.
But it was one of those things where it really blew my mind.
Yeah. That's some serious shit. I never even thought of that.
Yeah, well, I didn't think about that either, and about a virus being able to grab that capability and then using it on its target.
Even as a scientist,
it's not something that you're going to think is going to happen off the bat, but here it happened in over a third of the viruses exposed.
Wow. About the differences between plants and animals.
Exactly. Animals can't do that.
Yeah.
So GMOing a dog or a cat or a cow is fine, but plants and that have all these virus interactions and endomycorrhizal fungi and endophytes and all this other stuff, that gets dangerous, and you got to be careful. And this particular one with the cassava was a really good example of that.
Wow. That's some serious shit.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised when I read that. And I read it not long after you posted it. We were talking about it when you were here too, but it still surprises me that they were that careless. I mean, I guess it doesn't surprise me in a way, but I don't know. Scary shit, if you ask me. Really scary shit.
Yep.
It just goes to show you how little we know, but how quickly they're willing to put the stuff to market.
Yeah.
It really worries me about the cannabis industry, especially when you got people like, you know, the Philo stuff and then these other companies that kind of make them look like rookies. You know, what's going to happen?
And also the speed of the whole entire genetic sciences is really pretty frightening in general. You know, if you look at, I think it was Freeman Dyson, the scientist, who was talking about the different revolution, you know, the different, like the mechanical revolution and then the information revolution and then the, you know, then the genetic revolution. And he said that each one, you know, is going to happen much quicker than the earlier one. So the mechanical revolution took a certain length of time. The information revolution happened quite a bit faster. The genetic thing is exploding very quickly, you know, much faster than the previous two, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we sequenced the first genome, like right. That we ever sequenced, and now we can do them, you know.
Yes.
You can get yours done through the mail. Like,
yeah.
That's a pretty quick turnaround time for sure.
Really unbelievable. I mean, I guess it was amazing how quickly we started flying, you know what I mean? Like when the Wright brothers and only 30 years later and 40, I guess that was a pretty impressive technological feat too. And that was just maybe in the mechanical thing, but yeah, I mean, the speed of genetic science is really frightening. It's how quickly it has come along. And yeah, it's... That, you know, I couldn't believe that, you know, you can buy a CRISPR kit now, you know, for really, you know, and lots of people, my wife, I think Mrs. Green Jeans probably knows how to use it. Like every, you know, quite a few people can use it. Well, so yeah, it is kind of scary, isn't it? Hopefully no one creates an atom bomb. But I guess there's a lot of ethical concern around genetics too.
Well, I mean, look at how they're restricting those other terpenes now and vape carts. And, you know, that's something else that they could absolutely put into cannabis would be bringing in terpenes from other plants and making cannabis produce them. You know? It's another, another, you know, potential genetic avenue that they could exploit.
Huh. Yeah. You can probably get there through selective breeding too.
What have you been up to, Mr. Green Jeans?
Oh, not much. It's harvest time, you know, just picking some huge plants in a couple of backyards. And boy, you know, it's easy to get, it's easy to grow too much when you grow outdoors. I'm really, really jealous of everybody who gets to grow outdoors all the time. This was a first year for me to actually have a plant in the backyard or two.
Is that great?
What's that?
It's just great. I mean, growing
up. It is incredible.
Yeah.
So cool. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago and people we were talking about this the other day, talking about indoor being better quality than outdoor, which is so incredibly untrue. I think one of the reasons, I have a theory about that. I was thinking about that since we were together before. And my theory is that usually indoors, a lot more likely people indoors are running select clones, whereas outdoors often is seed crops and so are somewhat variable. Because it's pretty hard to set up a really nice, a gigantic grow from clones outdoors. Not impossible, but more difficult. So a lot of people, you know, outdoor growers, I think,
you know, prefer to run seeds, most of the ones that I've seen, that I've known. So, you know, and that crop is just variable, you know what I mean? And you know, the grower doesn't send, you know, gifts his friends with all the, he saves all the best plants, and his, you know, and they never even go, and then the second grade ones don't even leave the county, you know, they go to other growers and everybody else, and then the bottom grade stuff is the stuff that goes out and gets sold. So, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why people have often said that indoor is better than outdoors, just because it's much more likely that people are running select clones indoors. That's all there is to it. But yeah, harvest time, it's awesome. And some big plants that were too big, I'm glad, you know, there were like looking at spaces indoors to where to dry, you know. And boy, people with a big crop, oh my God, you know, because you got to figure. So I've even, with some of them, I've been kind of picking part of the plant and then picking, you know, leave some on there and pick a little bit more later. It's a lot easier to dry and trim and manicure that way, if you don't have to work on it all at one time. And, you know, looking, going forward in the future, when people start growing a lot, growing more of their own medicine and growing, you know, getting large plants, I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to have to, I can see that really you're only going to go to the trouble to tightly manicure and, you know, the nicest trophy buds on the ends, on the most beautiful parts of the plant, and the rest, I guess, what are, yeah, we're going to make concentrates, we're going to make hash or whatever. I want to get back in it. Yeah. Making the old school hash.
Old school hash is a good way to go. Makes a bubble, you know.
Yeah, yep. And I got my rosin press, you know.
Oh yeah, there you go.
You know, so that's realistic. I mean, that's what, and probably going to make soap out of the leaves, you know.
Shout out to one of our students who will remain anonymous, who brought a bunch of bomb ass bubble hash to the class.
Yeah, it's pretty good, man. I'm smoking some right now, actually. I'm really impressed with how well it smokes out of the switch with this. I've never been able to just like smoke just bubble. You know, usually I put it on top of flour or put it in a joint or something else. But with this, because you can control the temperature so low, and you can set the hit time, you can smoke bubble by itself without catching it on fire. And it's really good. That's the best I can say. Like it's really good. So that's what I've been doing. We made some bubble during class out of like 2-year-old bud, and even that turned out pretty good. I was pretty impressed.
Wow. Yeah.
I'll take credit for that one since I made it.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you only get half the credit because I grew it. So.
Yeah, I get 50%.
50-50. But I kept all the bubble, so I don't know how that worked out. You get all the credit, I'll take all the bubble.
Oh, and another cool thing, they re-legalized gifting in California for a while there, ever since the recreational gifting was illegal, right?
Yeah, the Dennis Brown Brownie Mary Bill.
Now, yeah, right? The Brownie Mary Bill. Yeah, well, it's legal again, just in time.
Yeah, that's great. It should have never got changed to start with. Shit.
Right?
Yeah.
What kind of a law is that? You know,
they should have
allowed to charge patients, man. They want to charge them. They want them to go to the dispensary. They want them to buy fucking 10 times more packaging than they need. You know, like that's what I've decided. They just don't, they don't fucking care. It's the same reason an EpiPen is like $800 now or whatever it is. Like,
yeah.
It's just because they know they have to buy it. Medical patient comes into the dispensary, they are buying something. They're not going to look around and be like, you know, never mind. Or, you know, they're not going to window shop. Like, they're there to buy something to help them feel better. And so I feel like that's really what they go after with all of that shit. And then, you know, like 10 milligram edibles. A cancer patient would have to consume like, what, 20 cookies just to fucking get the amount, the dosage that they want to eat. So now they're what, they have to be they have to be obese and consume a large amount of calories just because you don't want to put more than 10 milligrams in a single edible.
Not only that, yeah, like how much packaging is 20 of those versus the edibles they were buying before? Like when I hurt my spine, so a lot, I don't know how many people know this, but I twisted my spine when I worked aquaponic source coming out of my car, and I couldn't walk for a while. And I was fucked up. And I was taking, used to be able to buy 1,000 milligram Reese's cups in Colorado in the medical market. I'm 99% sure you can't even buy those now. And I was taking up to four of those a day. Okay. But I didn't need opioids. I didn't need any painkillers. I didn't need muscle relaxers. I didn't need anti-spasm medications. I was able to keep all of those in their bottle and just take the weed and not have any of the side effects, not have any of the withdrawal, not have any of the bullshit that came along with those other medications. And that was amazing. But at the same time, that's not even an option for people now. And that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then they claim it's, oh, well, because a kid might eat one.
Well, you know, so what? So let's just say extreme scenario, like a 45-pound kid eats a 1,000 milligram edible. He might sleep for 3 days, but he's in zero danger of dying or any kind of health issue.
Right. Right. So as bad as drinking a beer. Yeah.
He might be unnecessarily sedated. I think we can all agree that's not a good thing, not something we want, right? But is he in any danger of any kind of health danger?
Not any more danger.
Some kind of bizarre, like, severe terpene allergy? No.
Yeah. No. And people have to be able to grow their own to. You know, and it's the older grandmother when she shows up at the town meeting. You know, you can't deny her the right to grow her own medicine. It's always the girls. I like how the little girl Charlotte Figgy, you know, she's like, you can't deny her the right to have her epilepsy medicine. You know, Charlotte's Web. And they changed the laws, you know. So the old lady, when she comes in, she comes to the town meeting, and she wants the right to grow her own medicine. Bam, judo flipped. End of story. It's cool.
How are you going to say no to a fucking grandma? You know
exactly.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
I think that's a great point. You know, a lot of the medical laws in different states have been passed because of women, and that's, you know, not something that's
yes because the whole cannabis culture is a very forward and culture, and so is the commerce of it, you know what I mean. This is one of the reasons why there's a lot of backlash against giant glitzy dispensaries, you know, and people go in and it's like, whoa, what, you know, and all the packaging and everything like that. You know, it's just because that stuff is kind of old fashioned, you know what I mean? That's kind of old, some other culture that doesn't have nothing to do with cannabis. And cannabis is the culture of cannabis is very forward bubble, to borrow a term from Steve. It's a bubble that's it's out in front, you know, it's
for sure.
Well, I mean, it's funny too. We were talking about this before the show. We forget how much of a bubble out in front we are sometimes. We were talking about this in relation to the Aquaponics Association conference. And it's just like, when you're trying to have an advanced talk about essential oil production or flavonoids or terpenes, and then they're trying to talk about just like lettuce production per square foot, you're kind of talking about, you know, a much more zoomed out way to look at it and not that same kind of micro level of understanding of what's going on in the system. And there's a huge gap now between a lot of the, you know, cannabis producers, especially on the aquaponics side, on the commercial side, and then the vegetable producers. You know, the general base level of knowledge on the cannabis side is much higher. I noticed this when I said the word chemovar at the talk and had to explain what chemovars were, and just kind of had to remind myself that, you know, not everybody is as familiar with cannabis vocabulary as we are, you know, being really plugged into the industry. So, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's hard to get used to, like you know, not having someone to be able to ask, for what to do about things, you know, then just having to, you know, invent a way yourself because no one is doing it. No one else is doing
it. Yeah, it's weird how far advanced all these different sects of growers really became in their own isolated environments. You know, like they all sort of evolved in their own little bubbles, but still ended up ahead of the curve in a lot of areas than like regular agricultural growers. You know, which I find interesting because they could work together the entire time, right? They could post an internet forum called whateverthefuckthewant.com and post as many pictures of their crops as they want and have scientists look at them. And, you know, you could buy crop insurance. Like they have every advantage. Yeah. And yet so many of the black market growers seem to have come to a better technical understanding of growing, let's say, like more of the botanist aspects of growing as opposed to in even, you know, in some areas like microbial life or nutrient uptake or you know, a lot of different concepts that or different methods that they had to use, like IPM, like insect management. You had some areas of ag that were relying heavily on beneficial insects, but mostly, you know, for the most part, in terms of agricultural production, it was all what can we spray the fuck out of this with and have it kill everything but the plant? That would be ideal. If we could kill everything but what we want to grow and just grow that, that's the ideal. And that was like the way so many people went and all followed. I feel like they didn't get to any of the good questions. You know what I mean? Like you can't, obviously nobody wants to spray their weed with that they're going to smoke later themselves with pesticides. Right. So, you know, you're not going to spray your own shit with Roundup. I feel like it sort of created that bubble sooner. It created that question that, you know, to look for the answer sooner.
I think a lot of it comes from the plant almost itself. I mean, the generosity of, this is going to sound so corny, but the generosity of Mary Jane and the sort of promotion of truth and scientific thinking, scientific reasoning. Did Carl Sagan say that? Or what's it talking about the idea that that cannabis, started people thinking, scientific thinking. Actually, because it did.
Probably. Sounds like it.
They've traced the genetic origin to cannabis back to about 130 miles away from the first known discovery of Denisovans. So the Denisovans were another group of people that were similar to Neanderthals. And if you actually look at ancient, what's really interesting, I was reading this, and this was strictly an opinion paper that there's no formal study on this, but this guy was doing overlaying cannabis history with the genetics of its spreading with where we know Denisovans were, and actually showing how the Denisovans might actually have been the ones that actually first cultivated cannabis to begin with. And it might not have even been our species that were the first to actually cultivate cannabis. It might have been actually the Denisovans that we then later got the cannabis from, because the overlay with their regional spread is almost identical to cannabis. Mm-hmm. So that would do that would explain a lot as to why the two of them overlap so damn much. But it was a really interesting study on like the anthropology of it in relation to not only, you know, our own species, but even some others similar to ours.
It's awesome. Yeah, I mean, everybody, I'm sure, has experienced, the increased ability to be introspective or to think about yourself, maybe courageous a way of looking at yourself, like self-reflection. I'm sure people have, Carl Sagan, he was talking about, now I'm beginning to remember it. He was talking about, and it's pretty interesting the way he put it, because I thought there was a slightly different way. He's talking about pygmies standing by a river of water, and standing absolutely stock still with a spear in their hand, you know, for hours upon, until the fish goes by, and then spearing the fish. And he's saying that they're using the cannabis to kill the boredom, which I thought was an interesting term, and it made me think about, whether, because I was thinking, well, what about increasing your concentration? And then if you think about it, what's the difference between increased concentration and killing boredom? Got any ideas for that, Marty? Well, are they really different things? I don't know. I couldn't figure it out.
Well, they definitely have a lot in common, at least.
Yeah, right? They have a lot in common. And so maybe cannabis, increases your concentration and stuff. I think it really does. I mean, people have said, that it can be a good study aid and things like that. I know everyone's used to thinking of it as something that, for relaxing and stuff like that. Of course, and it depends on your genetics.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's hard to tell because, obviously you can only have the one experience of it, right? Like, I only know what smoking weed is like for me. And then you have all the different strains that are out there that I know affect me differently. So I can make assumptions, like, I assume they affect you differently.
Totally.
But, my wife and I don't even react the same way to the same strain. So, right. I mean, some similarities for sure, but not exactly, like, I really like smoking high THC content. Whereas for her, she likes it, she dislikes it because it, makes her paranoid or, might trigger a panic attack or something like that. And so, certain terpene profiles and especially high amounts of THC with no CBD or much of a terpene profile really tend to make her paranoid or trigger panic attacks. And so I don't have that effect. I like to, I'll smoke all of that all day long and play video games or something like that, which you think would, and I don't know, maybe I just feel like I'm better at the video game, but I do feel like it is a, it's an aid for, like, maybe it might slow your reaction time a little bit, but increases your focus so much that it doesn't.
Well, I wonder if it really does slow your. Wonder if it really does slow your reaction time. They had all these car driving tests that I guess so far haven't really shown much impairment. Like, is there even such a thing as cannabis impairment?
They say it does.
Like, there is.
I don't think so. I think it's more if it's mixed with alcohol. I think that's what you see the impairment.
We should test a Formula One driver, because a lot of athletes, a lot of athletes say, that
100 miles an hour, you fuck
that
up.
They perform better. Right. When they're high. So,
like, we're going to wreck $1 million car to test some pot,
Totally worth it.
No,
but I do it twice.
He's going to be able to drive half second faster or some shit like that.
Basically there's been a number of tests already done on it, and basically all of them come back the same thing, which is that while it might slow your reaction time, it made all of them score safer overall, because usually they drove at a slower speed, and it most of them scored better in there for safety wise.
It's not
the same as alcohol at all. Like, and that's what they tested against.
Exactly.
Were sober drivers and then alcohol at different percentages. And so it was pretty much the same overall score, even if it slows your reaction time a little bit.
I found out that cannabis gave me tunnel vision in a way and allowed me to concentrate specifically on one thing. When I was working, building cabinets in a factory, we'd get high at lunch and I'd build the shit out of cabinets because I was just like, you know, right. So if you're driving, I would think it'd be the same thing in a way. And since I've drag raced motorcycles and stuff before, and you're not really supposed to, allegedly, you're not, you know, maybe I allegedly smoked some pot and drag raced my motorcycle, but I found that it gave me a tunnel vision in a thing, you know. So I think it's debatable. Like you're debating it, right? So, but I don't think,
again, I don't know, maybe
really hinders you that much. I think once you experience it and know how to control your emotions when you feel after you get high, I think that you can really be focused. I find that you can be extremely focused. That's what I think I was trying to get at. So
that could be because, you know, there was a test recently with a stress test where they do the classic way you test stress is with the arm submerged in a bucket of ice water.
Oh, right? I thought it was talking to your old lady, but okay.
Yeah. So you submerge your arm in a bucket of ice water and you have to perform, you know, tests on, you know, do a bunch of thinking and, you know, solve puzzles and all this kind of stuff. And people that are high on cannabis perform like 100% better than other people, than people who are straight. They're able to think clearly under, you know, when they're much more uncomfortable.
Well, like the old block and the shape test where you had to put the square in the square hole. And I bet if you're stoned, you do it better than if you're straight, you know, like if you have a problem.
Well, it's this thing about the stress. It's the thing about having your arm in the ice water, right. You see, right?
Oh, so it relaxes your stress. It makes you less stressful. So you're able to perform better because you have less stress.
Who knows why, but for some reason, people are able to perform better. Yeah.
Maybe. Well, hey guys, I'm sorry I was late, but I've been doing business and yeah, sorry.
Well, that's good too.
But it's just us. It's just us again tonight. So here we are. So love you guys. I'm having a hell of a week and I'm not going to go into it now. But I'm just saying, I'm glad to be here. I'm sorry to be late and came in right at a great time to have a conversation. So yeah, you know, hello. I'm in one of the moods.
What's up, Roger?
Good
to have you.
Well, it's good to be part of this group. I tell you what, I love it. You guys are awesome. And sometimes Steve and I talked about this a few times in the past year or so where you feel like total shit and the life is dealing you a shit sandwich. And then you get a chance to be on the podcast and you don't even want to do it hardly, but you log in and you get on and you guys are there. And then all of a sudden your mood picks up and your attitude is stimulated by the conversation. And so that's what's up. I'm glad to be here right now because life has been a shit sandwich this week.
Well, good. We're glad you're here then.
Mr. Green Jeans, since we got a intermediate a place to cross over. I'm getting some Congo. I've got some Congo, allegedly some Congo.
What is that?
That is Vision strain. His Landrace strain. That's cherry bomb, right? I want to get I hope I don't mistake because it's cherry pie. But it's like, remember he was on the show and you guys talk. Well, cherry bomb is his. Congo is his. It's a Landrace sativa that everybody's doing and sharing and passing around and stuff like that. I got some of that coming. So, and I might have a couple beans that where it was accidentally crossed with a couple of other things, and I won't say what because that would sort of identify the person that, you know, I'm talking about. But he's a friend of the show and all. But yeah, I can't wait. I just saw it a while ago, and it's a lemony, very lemony you know, sativa type, almost anxiety high kind of shit, which means it kicks ass high in THC, because that's what I think about. If it's got anxiety, there's two things. It's either been harvested early and not totally mature, which, call, in my opinion, causes anxiety with sativas, or it's just got an ass load of THC, which in itself causes anxiety. But either way, it's supposed to be badass. So I can't wait. If I get some seeds, I'll send you one. If I get some seeds, I'll send you something that, but it'll be crossed with something, you know, some other, you know, interesting thing. So anyway, that's about it. Yeah, I don't know. I can go on and on. I'm in rare form. I hadn't slept in 2 days. So, and I haven't taken any chemicals either. So it's just been life has kept me up for 2 days.
Yeah, we thought maybe you were Breaking Bad over there or something.
No, 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 not Breaking Bad at all. In fact, I need to roll a joint probably to fucking calm down. You know, I've been smoking some shatter and some of my Oregon Gorilla Glue number 4 shatter that my friend gifted me a while back. And it's amazing. I got some, it's lasted forever. I thought I was going to share it with somebody, but I didn't get to. So, yeah, it's awesome. So what were y'all talking about other than what, anything? Did I miss anything? Any announcements or anything?
The pizza on your roof says otherwise, Roger.
The pizza on my roof.
Okay. Breaking Bad joke. All right.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know, I watched that. I haven't watched. I watched the whole thing. I binge watched it about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And, yeah, I don't remember that one. Sorry.
So, Mr. Green Jeans, you're just harvesting now. What's going to be your next project? What's your next breeding project or seeds, or what are you doing next?
Oh boy, I don't know. I've got to get some more. I got to get some more space. I ran out of seeds again, which I guess is a good thing. But yeah, I've got to figure out how to make more. And right now, my space is too small, too teeny. It's awesome to grow outdoors, though. I mean, growing outdoors is really incredible. It's great to see, you know, to take the plants outdoors. It's been, because I was almost been forced to be finishing them. I don't have enough room for a lot of them in the grow room anymore, even though I'm flowering them really small. There's just no room in the flowering room. I mean, so I've been... when they're getting a little bit more advanced in flowering, usually I move plants towards the outside, further away from the intensity of the light as they advance in flowering. I feel like they don't like as much direct bright light. But anyway, yeah, and move them more towards the edge. And then lately I've been just sticking them outdoors, you know, and that's really cool to get, you know, to be able to, you finish plants for the last, week or so outdoors really gives them a nice, you can really tell the difference in quality, even, you know, which is, I think that's one of the things that really convinced me that there really is something to the spectrum of lights. And I'm sure LEDs are way better than what I have, which is metal halide. It's not even a CM, it's not even a ceramic metal halide, just a regular metal halide. But yeah, like what to do next, what to breed next. Well, I've already been messing around with this one and I don't really have a name for it. I have a clone of a Master Kush, you know, what's in a name, right? Master Kush. What the hell does that mean? But anyway, it's really nice. It was one of these, I've kept it for so long because it's a classic, it's a good indica that, you know, dominant, which I don't really have. Most of my stuff is definitely sativa dominant. And, you know, it's a nice, big, healthy growing plant that makes large buds and finishes fast and does all the nice things that you'd want an indica plant to do. But I've never been able to really get any plants off it that had traits like it. It's like, you know, everything that I've ever crossed it with,
the results have been interesting, actually, you know, but not, and it could be because I'm just maybe just holding that plant to a pretty high standard, which it is. It's really nice. So I'm expecting, you know, to get plants off it that are like it. So obviously I could have gone further down and gone to an F2 or maybe back crossed it and then inbreed those or something like that to try and get more plants like this Master Kush. But I never really did that. Instead, I just kept trying different males on it just to see, you know, if I could find something. And I did find something. I used a back crossed Blackberry Kush, which is a DJ Short Blackberry Kush. And I used a back crossed male of that and crossed it into this Master Kush plant. And the results of that were pretty damn good. There were about 50% of the females in it were really similar to the Master Kush mom, with most of those really nice traits. So yeah, maybe I'm kind of getting on to doing a kind of an indica thing, which I never really, my collection is definitely weak in indicas, my strains. I haven't made.
I'll be glad to send you some indica stuff, but like really, kind of, so, you know.
Oh, I got,
you don't,
I
mind. Got so much. I know you don't. You don't care.
I don't have. I got way too much on my plate. I got seeds of Steve's and stuff that I hadn't even started yet, and I've got to get more room. I'm just totally backlogged right now, trying to flower plants as small as possible and everything. It's ridiculous. But anyways, yeah. So that's kind of. I guess maybe I'll be dabbling in indica. And also, you know, it's got this Master Kush plant's like a really exceptional indica. I've seen a lot, you know, I've seen a few indica plants in my time. And so, you know, whatever I do with it, it's got to be something that matches up to, you know, that is similar to that, has all that kind of vigor, large size, flowers, really fast growing, you know, aggressive growth, you know, fast finish, all that kind of stuff. Heavy indica stone.
Oh, cool.
Very strong, you know, the whole.
Well, really, we got a pure Afghan, so that's why I was offering. I thought you might like
some. Well, I don't know what's in a name, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. It's a seed. What's in it? It's a
seed. I'd have to see the plant.
But, you know. But I do. I have to say, I have confidence in our seed bank that.
That's why I said Master
Kush. They've been archiving genetics for a long time, and so they are not just bastardized high. You know, what do these guys want to call them, poly hybrids or whatever? They're actually the seeds that, you know, the genetics that have been around for a while, and they archived them and they kept rebreeding them until they had that, you know, where it's a stable strain. And I'll just offer it because I got a opportunity to get them if you ever want to try it. But I know you've always said to me, you got too many projects and too many
seasons. I love way too much on my plate.
Hey, I don't care if I never give it nothing. I'm just kidding. You know, but I'd like to give it something, but you know,
everybody wants to give me some genetics. Yeah. Everybody wants me to work with their stuff.
Well, I don't want you to work with nothing.
I'll help you work on it yourself. I'll help you. I'll coach you.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not,
you know, you grow them out, and I'll coach you on it.
Okay. Yeah.
On the breeding.
Yeah, we'll do a grow journal on the forum. Mr. Green Jeans teaches Latewood how to grow.
No, I thought you were talking about breeding.
No, I wanted to send you some seeds that you could use. Like you said, you wanted to get into indica. I wanted to send you a pure Afghan seed.
Yeah, that's what I said. Well, you should breed it yourself. You should.
Have room, or I've got other stuff. Well, see, no, I don't. Well, look, you always hate this about me. But look, I've already got three Amalek spiders.
I what?
Wendy's stuff from Humboldt.
I hate what?
Kaya stuff. I've got Landrace from White Buffalo. I'm not like you. I'm never going to be like you when it comes to genetics or breeding, but I've got so many things on my plate that I'm going to gift you Afghan seeds. I don't want you to help me breed them because I got all this other shit that I'm breeding. So it's, you know, it's just like, yeah, you know, we're getting in the same boat now, you know, I don't have room, and I'm not in a place where I can fucking, and I'm even growing in small cups, man. So I'm telling you, my plate is full, you know, but if I want to breed, I definitely, you know, I'm going to be bugging you. I got your phone number, so don't mess with me. I'll be calling you every day, you know, so.
Well, that was nice. Thanks for your support.
No, I love your support. Lovely. Sometimes I can't get, I'm in rare form. Like I said, I've been up for 40 hours. So, you know, whatever.
Marty, are you still around? I was going to ask you a question about your grow. If not, so Marty and I had a fun time teaching the class over the weekend. Yeah, it was just really fun doing the commercial class. Got to get some interesting perspectives from other people. Got to meet a bunch of people that are starting businesses in different countries. I think we had people from everything from New Zealand to Canada to United States to South Africa. So it was really interesting to have a wide range of people in the class. So it was really fun. And just learned about some other techniques and methods that people were bringing up during the class. It was really interesting. So we'll be, Marty and I think are going to offer them in the future online, especially given the fact that we'll be on different continents in the future. So I think we're going to handle it that way. So it'll be fun. So we're working on getting a new schedule up for the next 6 to 8 months for classes. So keep a lookout for that. And then working on some cool stuff with Roger from True Aquaponics, working on finalizing everything for a subscription service. You'll be able to sign up and pay one flat fee and get all your chemistry handled for your aquaponics system. And, you know, you'll get a monthly box that fixes your chemistry as long as you send your water out on time. And this will allow us to dial your system in, you know, very accurately, you know, depending on what crop you're growing. So be it cannabis or whatever else. And, you know, we have different tiers based on, you know, commercial or non-commercial, and then, you know, what kind of crops, because, it, you know, the nutrients vary quite a bit. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. So just working on that in the wings and working on stuff for Africa. And then I've been dealing with just being sick and traveling and everything. So it's kind of getting recovering and, yeah, that's why I didn't have any guests booked for this week, just because I was not feeling too well. So it's finally getting back into the swing of things. So we'll be back next week with regular guests and all that. Alrighty. Anything else going on with you, Roger?
I'm getting ready to set up my all my citrus plants and stuff like that into a safe haven for the colder weather. Because I spent a lot of money on them, don't want to lose them. But basically, we started recovering my greenhouse this week. It was real nice. I want to shout out to Ryan from the Carolina Canada Connection for coming over and busting his ass and chopping up a whole shitload of blackberries and grapevines that have taken over my greenhouse. It's like if I wanted to grow blackberries and grapes, I didn't have to do anything but go harvest them. But he came over and worked his butt off, and he's a great, I can see he's going to be a great partner. We got a bunch of hemp ideas going on, and we're going to concentrate on our, on the craft growing style of the hemp, smokable flower. We feel like a smaller farm with a connoisseur craft style finish is going to be the best thing for us, because I don't think we can be big enough to use biomass. If we use biomass, it might be for our own uses one way or the other, but I don't think we'll produce enough biomass to make it worth it. So I've been doing a lot of studying on the the business of growing hemp now that we can do that. And looking at all the different options, I had broader ideas, but I think I've become informed that it's going to, on a smaller farm, and to be more successful, you might want to just do craft growing. So that's what we're doing. I'm looking for genetics. I'm going to be talking to our buddy up in Asheville about that. You know, I haven't got to him yet because we've had a lot of things going on, basically doing some building and logistics for the coming year. Because we've really gotten past the experimentation now that we were doing this year, and it's starting to get cold. So I think we're definitely going to be doing fine. I can't wait. I honestly cannot wait. It's going to be great. And like I said, Ryan's a great partner to have because he's a younger guy than me. He's got about 20 years, and he's a hard worker. He's extremely interested. You know, he went to the organic cannabis conferences in Maine last year, and he's serious. So it's nice to have somebody with a lot of energy. So that's about it. I'm always experimenting on stuff. I was talking a while ago, I got those other plants going on, and I'm going to be starting some white buffalo landrace stuff that was gifted to me by Vision from White Buffalo Seed Company up in Canada, I believe. And that's going to be fun to do some of that. And yes, and Mr. Green Jeans, I will definitely love to have any advice once I get into that. If you want to help me, I'll definitely take your guidance because I have not been a breeder, and any kind of input that any breeders out there, that all of our friends on the podcast, I welcome any of you to shout out to me and say, you know, maybe you should try this. So other than that, though, life's a bitch. And we're surviving as best we can.
Yeah.
Mm. Not what you expected.
So
yeah, Marty's gone. Marty's gone. He's gone. So,
one other thing I was going to bring up too is Canada finally legalized edibles and concentrates on the 17th. Yay!
Oh, cool. Because they kind of kiboshed that for a while, didn't they? Now they opened it back up. That's good for Canadians, to our northern friends. Awesome.
Yep, yep, yep. But, and then there's something else. Hold on a second. Mexico also introduced their recreational cannabis bill as well. You'll be able to buy weed if you're 18 years old. In Mexico, edibles and drinks would be medical only.
I thought Mexico had legalized cannabis all the way.
So legalized possession of all drugs under 5 grams or some shit like that.
Oh, okay. So now they're starting to get into allowing you to grow it. Is that what you're saying?
No. Yeah, that was just like, you're not going to jail now kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, they've all been growing pot all these years anyway. It might, you know, it might as well legalize it. What the hell? Tax it, make some money, you know, let us do our thing.
There's also some interesting stuff. I haven't gotten into it fully because I haven't had time. But there's some kind of connection between like Russian money into cannabis businesses and Giuliani, Rudy Giuliani, being investigated by the feds in relation to Trump and money laundering as part of the Ukraine stuff. So I just thought I wanted to mention it because I thought it was funny how there was a weed angle to this whole impeachment stuff going on.
Anything so, involving Giuliani and Trump is fucking hilarious. That's all I got to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, I just thought I'd bring it up. I just thought it was funny.
I hadn't heard that one yet, though. The Russians are involved, and yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, Trump's going to hang Giuliani out to dry, even though we're just not a political podcast. Since you brought it up, you know, he's going to be hung out to dry. He's already kind of being hung out to dry. So,
I thought it was interesting too. There was statistics released for Germany for their first round of what the, I guess, first 6 months of medical reimbursement or whatever it was for the cannabis industry in Germany. And it was 71% for pain.
Wow. I've been hearing that when it comes to hemp, even as far as biomass and stuff, that, what do you think about this? That I heard there's been some talk about the fact that they're going to overload us and overwhelm our hemp producers. And that's one of the reasons that we're so high on going craft, all the way craft, because that they're going to produce so much hemp that you're going to overwhelm the American farmers, that, you know, that, because again, they know what they're doing and they're allowed, been allowed to grow it for a long time. What do you think? Europeans?
No. Europeans don't have the land. Africa's going to supply everybody. That's why I'm going.
Okay. I'm just throwing shit out because different people are throwing down different philosophies about how it might be, you know, if you get into trying to, all right, as we know, part of the problem with the people growing hemp or even cannabis is some guys with a lot of land and money think they can grow it like corn, and they don't. We've discussed that a million times.
Well, but you can grow it like corn if you know what you're doing.
Well, hemp you can, and if you're going to do for biomass, but I don't think you can grow it like corn if you want smokable flour or high-quality medicine.
I'm going to compete with like small scale production for sure, but if you're just talking about something that's smokable for like low quality Budweiser kind of competitor, that's what's going to happen soon.
Yeah, but I was talking about the higher quality. Yeah, but yeah, you can do that for sure, but it's
certainly not, you're certainly not going to be making anything that's going to touch the craft grower market or the breeder market or any of the people that we have on the show. It's not meant to compete with them, you know.
Right. Well, you can look at old pictures of hemp farms, and it was grown like corn in the old days when they were doing it for row. But that's all they were really doing it for. I mean, there was a time when there was medicine, but then there was the prohibition.
You've always had your drug variety and your fiber variety.
Right, exactly. But do you think that a smaller farmer could actually sustain his farm trying to do for fiber?
You need to be at least 5,000 or 6,000 square feet if you're going to survive. I think a lot of people think they're going to survive with 1,000 to 3,000 square feet, and I don't see it. I don't see the money. I mean, I'm sure
exactly. That's the same thing I learned in the produce business. I didn't lose money, but I couldn't make money because I wasn't big enough.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, I think, you know, that where now I've got room to expand, but knowing that factor, and I think that's what you just basically said. I think that the reason that we want to go totally craft growing is because you can make a lot more dollars per pound per mass than you can with craft growing and the smokable type flower that could be processed, I guess. I mean, you know, I'm assuming if you have high quality smokable flower that could also be processed into, you know, a wax or resin or whatever, oil, anything like that, that would still be viable for medicine.
They have machines now that'll just come through and take the tops off. And then they just, that's it. So like it's all getting automated and all that for mass scale. Like you will have your craft production, but anyways, so I think we'll start to wrap things up here. Anything else you guys wanted to bring up before we wrap up the show?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, I'm still feeling under the weather, so we're gonna wrap the show up a little early. You can find Marty at AP Meds. @gmail.com or no, I guess it's not. It's AP Meds on YouTube and Instagram and all the things. You can find Mr. Green Jeans. How do people find you? How do people find you, Mr. Green Jeans?
At Mr. Green Jeans Gardens, I believe.
Yep. And then what about you, Roger?
Well, you can find me at ilovegrowingmarijuana.com, Latewood at ilovegrowingmarijuana.com. You can find me at Facebook, Instagram. We got a couple new websites opening up, but I don't want to screw it up and tell you the wrong address or whatever, but I'm currently working on recovering some websites from a hosting company that somehow are trapped in Romania. So I've got some new stuff, and I'm going to be announcing that in the next week or two. We're working on it now. We're going to have a little group. We're going to open up a new group, a discussion group, where people... In fact, I don't know. I wasn't planning on this, but it might turn into a podcast, you know, so we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Cool. All right. And you can find me at Potenponics, YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes, all the places. You can also find me. I was recently over on Shaping Fire podcast. Shout out to Shango. And then also today posted on the Growcast. We had Jordan from the Growcast on before on our show as well. So be sure to check those guys out. I had some really fun interviews with those guys. So, and we'll be back with guests in the normal type show next week. I apologize. I've just been either sick, traveling, or in the hospital. So it's been a bit of a week. Anyways, we'll catch you guys again next week on Tuesday. Cheers.
Much love.